the Old Testament reading is from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 4 through 15. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. This is the word of our Lord. The epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redeemed through his blood the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. In him we have attained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, The boy, Jesus, stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I have something funny to point out real quick before I get too far into this. You'll notice all of our pyramids are changed. You know, our decorations had already changed last weekend. We had taken away Christmas and put out our stuff for Epiphany, where we get to see that Jesus is God. And yet, I'm not wearing my green stole here. I'm wearing my white one. It's actually on purpose, accidentally on purpose, I think. You see, today, actually, our readings are different than they're supposed to be. Oh, I'm so sorry. On purpose again. For those who might follow along with the lectionary or maybe know this, but most LCMS churches, we follow the same readings each Sunday. It's from a common lectionary that helps us find our readings for each Sunday. And today, we're actually using things a little out of order. You see, these were the readings that would have been for last Sunday if we hadn't done our Epiphany Sunday readings, where we got to see that the wise men brought gifts showing that little infant Jesus truly was God. And then these readings are supposed to be the second Sunday after Christmas, and I didn't want to lose out on them. So I said, well, let's use them this week. And it also keeps with, you know, the normal chronological timeline. We're following through the Gospels here. We had Jesus born. We have the wise men showing up. Now we've jumped forward in time here, preteen Jesus. And preteen Jesus gives a solid preteen response in our gospel reading. It's very exciting. Here we have Jesus and his parents doing something that they've done his whole life now. It's pretty neat. They've traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover, the feast of the Passover. They are honoring God, remembering all of his great, wonderful blessings that he's done for his people. And they're celebrating that time when God had saved his people from death and ultimately also from slavery and brought them into their own land, the promised land. All of it starting with the Passover. And so Jesus, his parents here, his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, they're doing a great job raising him to follow God, to be remembering all these things that God has said to do. And they go there, they're having the great feast of the Passover, everyone's traveled over from Nazareth together, family and friends, they've had this big meal, the feast is over, and they're on their way back home. As they're heading back to Nazareth, they're assuming it's a big caravan, we've got family, we've got friends, I'm sure Jesus is probably just in the back playing around, maybe they're kicking a ball, I don't know, they're having a good time, I'm sure. Talking about, did you see how big that temple was? I know. I feel like it gets bigger every year. Something, I don't know, I'm getting bigger. Maybe it gets smaller every year. I don't know. They're on their way back, though, to Nazareth. And they just assume, of course, Jesus is having a good time with us. Time to bed down for the night, and we're getting ready. And, well, where is Jesus? Have you guys seen him? Is he with you? No? Is he with John? I don't know. Remember, he and John the Baptist are cousins. Well, I don't know where Jesus is. I haven't seen him. And so they're looking around, and they just realize, I guess he must be back in the city still. I don't know. Maybe he didn't miss the caravan. I don't know. They're worried. They're anxious. They go running back. They make their way back into Jerusalem. They're looking around. And then, don't miss out on the really cool timing of this. God does these things time and again. 3 days after the Passover, they find Jesus. And he's not gone, lost, or dead. He's alive. And he's amazing people. After these 3 days, they see him and they are shocked, amazed, appalled, all of these things. They come up, what are you doing? Why have you left us? Don't you know we've been looking for you? And again, this is that solid preteen response. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Of course. I mean, come on. I don't think Jesus did it very disrespectfully, but it's pretty funny, though, to picture him that way. What do you mean you've been looking for me? Didn't you know where I was? You didn't get the Post-it on the fridge? I don't know. Here is Jesus, and he says that he's in his Father's house. And it says that they didn't quite understand what he meant there at first. Later on, we hear that Mary had treasured this up in her heart. You can imagine Mary recounting this story to Luke, saying, you know, Luke, as you're writing this story and you want to hear the details, there was this time where we had gone to the Passover and we were leaving and Jesus wasn't there. We went back and there 3 days later, he was in the temple and he was talking with all of the leaders, the chief priests, they're all there, the scribes, the people who know God's word the most. And as he's sitting there and talking to them, they're just shocked. They're amazed at his understanding and his answers. What a funny thing to specifically put in there, right? You have this Jesus, this guy from Nazareth, this kid, and he's asking them these questions. He's listening to these teachers. And if you're asking questions and you're listening, it's kind of funny. They say, well, they're amazed at his understanding. That makes sense. But then they're also amazed with his answers. Can you imagine? I am this big scribe. I've been here my whole life, is dedicated to knowing God's word and teaching it to others. And you're asking me a question, and I'll give you an answer, and you understand it. Great. Then they ask him a question, and he gives them an answer. And they're like, what? That makes total sense. I never thought of it that way. I mean, it makes sense that I would be amazed at brilliant answers from our confirmation students. You guys shock me all the time, like, oh, you know, I haven't thought of it that way before. What a great point. But I'm also not God, so it's okay. You're welcome to surprise me all the time. It's wonderful stuff. Here's Jesus giving answers as the child who's supposed to be the one there learning. It's really, again, we talk about it time and again with Christmas, that Jesus, who is God, who was there at the creation of everything, came out of heaven to be born as a baby, to take on the form of a man, adding that to himself forever, to be now 100% God and 100% man. And apparently, as he's growing up, he has set aside using his divine abilities to do all the things that God can do. And as he's learning, as he's hearing scripture, of course he's understanding it perfectly, and he's giving good questions and responses himself. As he's doing all these things, he is growing, as we hear, in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and man. Jesus Christ, true God, also is true man. He had to grow up learning and growing and understanding the same way we all have. And it's just wild to think about the one who's given wisdom and understanding to the world would have to grow in it also. Taking a look at our Old Testament reading, right? We've got Solomon who, he goes up to Gibeon to sacrifice there. It was this great high place where he makes a burnt offering on an altar to God. And he says, God, I want to lead your people well. And he gets a dream. And during the dream, he asks for the ability to do that. Ultimately, he's asking for wisdom, the ability to lead his people well. And God says, I grant it to you. And after God gives him wisdom, the first thing he does, verse 15, Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servants. He's given wisdom from God, and he goes into Jerusalem to the temple where God says he will be, where he is to be found. Jesus, preteen Jesus, has wisdom from God, and he goes to the temple, to where God has told his people he would be found. What a neat thing that as soon as godly wisdom is put into the mind of Solomon, he goes straight to where he can find God to offer sacrifices of praise to him. We know that the temple was destroyed. The Ark of the Covenant is missing. I don't know which particular, Indiana Jones you follow that tells us where the Ark of the Covenant is these days. But we know that God is found elsewhere now. In Jesus Christ, having died for us, risen from the grave, and sent his Holy Spirit into your heart that you would have faith to trust in what he's done for you, he says, I live with you now. Jesus Christ is with you. We know that Jesus is in his word. His word is living and active because he's in it. We can have godly wisdom to go and find Jesus where he says he'll be found. In his word, in his church. Not just the building of Christ the Vine, but his church on earth, his people. God is found here with us because he is in us. We get to, like Jesus, grow in wisdom and stature and in favor before God and man. We grow in that way by hearing Jesus, by coming to him and being filled with him. It would have been amazing to be those scribes and those leaders in the temple, to be the ones amazed by this kid from Nazareth who shows up and is hanging around for 3 days. I wonder, like, where was he sleeping? He just, like, set up a cot there, like, right, outside the Holy of Holies. I'm just gonna nap here. Don't mind me. Dad's inside. I don't want to go into Dad's room. I'll stay out here. What a funny thing to then be with this child and to say, man, I grew in wisdom. I learned more by talking with him. Jesus Christ, our Savior, born to live a perfect life in our place, following all of God's laws well, remembering to do all the things that God has said to do, going to celebrate the feast of the Passover, following the law perfectly in our place when we cannot. He does this amazing thing for us, and we get to learn about it every day. We learn about it each and every day, week, and month of our lives as we continue to grow in the wisdom of God. We can ask for wisdom, we can ask for understanding, and God will give it to us. But we also know where we can find this. Again, it's in his word. It's in his church. And then this is all pointing us to really the great and wonderful thing that we get to learn more and more of each and every day. In our epistle reading in Ephesians chapter 1, we get to hear the answer to the great mystery of what is the purpose of life in this world, or what does God have for us? What is the meaning of life? And depending on which book you read, it's not the answer 42. Some of you get this. Beginning in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1. In him, that's Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. And here it is. This is the mystery of his will. To unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth, in him. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. We sang that earlier. The Father sent the Son to unite us, you and me, to himself. That is the will of God. That is the great mystery of the world. What's God's will? His will is for you to be with him. God's plan for your life is for you to be with him. He sent Jesus that you might be with him now, but even more so in eternity when he would call us to be in his heavenly home. You get to daily come to God's home in his word, and you will be drawn to his home in heaven. This is the wisdom of God. This is the will of God. This is his plan for you. He wants you to be with him as his child. He does this because he loves you. This great mystery, as it's there in Ephesians chapter 1, is the one that actually Martin Luther really thought on quite a lot. And he wrote a lot about this great mystery of God. He said the mystery of God is not why he would save some people and not other people. Why would he unite that group of people to himself and not that group of people? The great and true mystery for each and every one of us is, why would he save me? Why would he unite me to himself? The more we think about it, well, it's not because I'm special. I have more than just one snarky preteen response to God sometimes. God saves you because he loves you. He is your heavenly Father, and he wants you to know that you are his child who he wants to be with. That is the great mystery of the world, solved here in God's word, where you can find all wisdom. And so as we are now officially done with the season of Christmas for the time being, remember each and every day that joy and excitement of Christmas, that Jesus Christ has come into the world so that you would be made God's son or daughter. God loves you, and may his peace be with you. May it guide and direct every day of your life until he brings you to your eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.